Welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm John Pierce, your host, along with Neil Heaver, who is running the board for us this evening. And our topic is international peacemaking. My guest is Reverend Samuel Akhtar. He is going to be telling us about his activities with peacemaking here in the United States. His country of origin is Pakistan. He's the son of a Presbyterian minister, the first Pakistani home missionary installed by the United Presbyterian Church of Pakistan to serve his congregation for 50 years. That was your father.
My father, yes.
Samuel was born while the father was still a student in seminary.
Yes, correct.
And he dedicated Samuel to become a pastor. That means that you were encouraged from a very young age to go into church work, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, and I would add that, yes, I was groomed like that, and my father had been my mentor and teacher in theology. My formation, basically, is by his, you know, patronage and his guidance.
His faith.
It's his guidance.
Yes. Early experience as a pastor's kid were formative, as you've just heard, and have informed Samuel's ministry profoundly, even in the later part of his pastoral journey. So you went to a public school in Pakistan. Did you go through high school in Pakistan?
Yeah.
And then came to this country at what age?
Not 50, but close to 50.
To 50 years old?
Yeah.
All right. Before you came to this country, you were also a pastor in Pakistan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You accepted God's call and joined the theological seminary to earn a degree of Bachelor of Theology, about equivalent to the Master of Divinity.
Correct.
To become a minister of Word and Sacrament. And then you accepted the position as associate pastor at the Presbyterian Church of Sargodha.
The chronology is not the same. You know,
all right. Tell us.
When I came over here, this is, you know, prior to that. This
yes.
is prior to
you're,
that.
You're still in Pakistan at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, that point, yes. But when I came here, I was given the position of organizing pastor to organize an ethnic congregation.
Ah, all right. Yeah. Where are you located in the United States?
I'm in Chicago.
And tell us a little bit about your congregation there.
My congregation basically comprises of the new immigrants from Pakistan. But we do have Indian folks coming to our church. Puerto Rican, and Filipinos, too.
It's roughly four groups.
Yeah, four groups. And in that regard, the worship is always bilingually.
So bilingual, what are the two languages?
English and Urdu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Urdu is the language of Pakistan.
It is the national language of Pakistan.
Right. But Pakistanis speak English as the Indians do.
In fact, you know, let me bifurcate it. Urdu is our national language, and English is our official language.
Okay, so anything that the government produces is going to be in English and Urdu?
I'm not very much aware of it because I haven't read the government, you can say that, the documents. But I know that English is very much a part of our system.
Yes. The reason that you came to the United States was kind of by accident, you say. Explain about that.
Yes, it was by chance. You know, I was invited by a convention committee to be one of the two main speakers to the convention, religious convention, which is held annually in Maryland. So I did come, and after that, things took a different shape.
All right, so you came to that in 2001.
2001.
And so you've been in the U.S. now for about
16 years.
Mm-hmm.
16 years.
You came in September of 2001.
Exactly.
That was the year that we had the 9/11.
That's true.
Happen.
That's true.
And the this great calamity for the United States mm-hmm. with the airplanes. The flight schedules were disrupted because of the incident of 9/11. Correct?
Yeah.
And so your stay in the United States, you remained here.
Yeah.
Instead of going back as you had planned.
Yeah, and actually I was very much planning to go back home because I had another convention which was to be held in my church. So that was scheduled in October. So I wanted to go back to be a part of that.
And so at the time that we had the 9/11 catastrophe, you were in Maryland?
I was in Maryland.
Uh-huh. And where did you go from there?
I went to Philadelphia. And there was a senior friend, and he was running a Bible school. He invited me to come over and be a part of that school.
In Philadelphia. And then eventually you worked your way out to Illinois.
Yes. On the day of convocation, when the degrees were given to the students, the principal of the school, he had invited an associate from the General Assembly, PCUSA. So at that point, they were looking for a pastor who could organize an ethnic congregation within the Chicago Presbytery bound. I was given that offer. Ultimately, I accepted that.
And so to this very day, you are pastor of this congregation, which is multi-ethnic.
Yeah, that's true.
And multilingual.
Yeah, that's right.
You did your clinical pastoral education in Advocate Lutheran General Hospital as a prerequisite to upgrade the Bachelor of Theology to the Master of Divinity.
That's correct.
All right. And you are now working on a dissertation for your doctoral studies.
That's correct, too.
Yes. What's the subject of your dissertation?
Actually, that synchronizes with what I have been doing as a pastor in the congregation. So the topic of that dissertation is ministry amongst the new Pakistani immigrants, Protestant Pakistani immigrants.
You're focusing in on Pakistani immigrants.
Immigrants in Chicago.
And that's exactly your experience also.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the church where you are pastor now. If we were to go to a Sunday service, how many people would be there?
Yeah. In fact, the membership is like 70 to 75. Normal attendance in the church, that is between, 35 to 40 as a regular attendant, people who attend the worship. Right.
You have one worship service on a Sunday morning?
One worship service, yes.
And during the week, you have other activities going on?
Yeah, we do Bible studies and home visitation. And then since I did that CPE too, so the sick people, the visitation, and, So these are in addition to the church.
When you're pastoring specifically to Pakistani people, do you do that mostly in Urdu or mostly in English?
But it depends, if I'm visiting a patient who is well-versed in English, then I will certainly speak in English.
Depends on the other person's capacity.
Capacity,
for English.
Of understanding, If Urdu, well, more than welcome.
And you also have Spanish speakers. Is that all? English, Urdu, Spanish?
No, we don't have any Spanish.
You said Puerto Ricans.
They speak English.
But you do always in English with them.
They understand and talk English very, very fluently.
Yes, they do. And sometimes it's, particularly in crisis situations, it's more comfortable for them in Spanish.
Right.
But they do English very, very well. Reverend Samuel Akhtar is a pastor who is extremely interested in international peace. And let's just throw out right here that there is an International Day of Peace, which is September 21st every year.
21st, yes.
What's the point of international peace? What do we actually mean by that?
It's a very good question and good opportunity for me to elaborate on it. When we talk of peacemaking, it doesn't mean that we are trying to, we are with some hidden agenda. It's not that. We want to bring people together. We want to bring Muslim, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Sikhs together. So that with reservation to our own faith understandings, still we can have good cordial relationships established between the communities. So not to create more dissensions and divisions, and maybe, you know, to the degree of not, you know, intolerance, but we want to create an atmosphere of tolerance between the communities.
Are there any activities that you have with your church in Chicago with a mosque?
We do have connections with the mosque, and they invite us and we invite them on the respective celebrations. And then we have interfaith dialogues, and there's a continuously we have that.
Is there any interaction between your church and Jewish congregations?
Yes. When I talk of the interfaith, you know, the Muslims, Jews, and of course Christians, and Christians, white Christians, and of course the immigrant Christians. So all are a part of that. Mm-hmm. And now Korean as well.
And what brings you to the Lehigh Valley exactly? This show is Lehigh Valley Discourse. So here we are in our studios in South Bethlehem.
Yes. You know, first of all, let me thank you and dear sister Sheila. You know, this was her efforts that, you know, I was invited and I was sent by the Peacemaker, you know, the executive organizers.
This is Sheila Clever.
Sheila
and
Clever.
Shout out to her at this point. Good.
Yeah, Sheila Clever.
So she got in touch with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And invited you to come. And
very graciously, when I came over, she was there to greet me herself, not only by herself, but both of them, her husband and herself. Both of them, they were there. And so they brought me along to Allentown and Lehigh, this, you know, area. And now I feel like, you know, this has become my family.
And you've been here for only a few days, correct?
Yes, that's right. I'll be leaving after 2 days, you know. Anyway, but, you know, I like the place. I like the people whom I've met, including yourself.
Well, we add our welcome from WDIY to you.
Thank you so very much,
Reverend Akhtar.
And I'm really thankful for that.
One of the big questions that we have nowadays is promoting more dialogue between Christians and Muslims. How do you think we can do that?
In fact, you know, when we focus more on Muslims and Christians, you know, the good thing is that we have so many things in common. And for a healthy relationship, I think the foundation would be to start from the commonalities. And when I say that to start and begin with the commonalities, it doesn't mean that I am absolutely excluding the differences. No, we have the differences. That's the reason why we are Christians and Muslims, you know. So my position would be that begin with the commonalities and establish good relationship, be of good friends and love as our Lord Jesus Christ, he has mentioned that love your neighbor like yourself. Not only that, Jesus went further. He said, well, love your enemies and pray for their enemies. And I recognize that Muslims are not at all our enemies. We are good communities living together, and that is the reason they are of supreme, you know, interest to us.
All right. What do you think about the statement that terrorists are not really Muslims? They're not following Muslim teachings. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. It is. Because the terrorist, no matter they belong to any religion, Muslims and Christians and any other, you know, group or religion, they're not following their religions. And they have their own religion and their understandings. So I don't want to comment on that. But believe me, they are not doing any good to their respective religions as well.
Any religion that I know anything about practices and preaches peace. So no matter how you construe the word terrorists, it's not peaceful.
It is not peaceful at all, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm John Pierce, along with Neil Heaver. And we are talking this evening about international peacemaking. How can it be done? In what area can it be done? We want to talk more about what could our listeners do as far as international peacemaking is concerned. We have a world that has been at war in many places on Earth ever since you and I were born. It seems as if peace is so elusive.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that more after we take a break. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
This is Robert Siegel of All Things Considered. More news, less on-air fundraising is the goal at WDIY. Please make your contribution today and help WDIY make its goal and keep the pledge drive short. Help pay for the news and keep on-air fundraising interruptions to a minimum. Visit WDIY.org and give as generously as you can. Thanks.
Our topic this evening, international peacemaking. Reverend Samuel Akhtar is here with me on Lehigh Valley Discourse. International peacemakers exist in 54 countries, and they visit the United States. Now, Reverend Akhtar, you're not visiting. You are living here.
Yes.
Right. And you have a congregation in Chicago.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's multicultural. It must be a really exciting pastorate to have because you have all this variety.
Yes, I do. I believe so.
Does it cause any conflicts among the people in the congregation?
I think not at this stage. No.
That's good. That's good. Because you're a peacemaker.
Yes,
so
of course, yes.
I would imagine that you as the head of the church in that area would be promoting getting together.
When we talk of peace, so it comes from inside of us, you know, and of course, our meditation and our thoughts, you know, they are all involved, and they have to be integrated in order to establish peace. When we hold presentations, lectures, sermons, and then group conversations, all the endeavors are aimed at creating an atmosphere where our attitudes are really, really transforming and maybe transformed. Are they still in the transition? I believe that yes, change of attitude, it is one of the very, very important elements of looking at the peace making endeavors and then perceiving them and then maybe following them.
And all of us can take that advice that we need to look at our own attitudes. It's just too easy in life, isn't it, to say us and them. And that we have our group and that we really don't want to have too much to do with other groups.
Other groups, yeah.
And your effort is to try to bring people together for mutual understanding.
In fact, you know, when I say others, you know, since I'm Christian, so I have my own identity. So I describe myself, you know, I identify myself as Christian. So that is the reason I say others. Otherwise, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus,
Jews.
Sikhs, Jews, yes. So they're all inclusive, included in that when I say others. So it doesn't mean that I'm not just, you know, specifically talking of any group, but at large. So everyone is invited to be a part of it.
In your congregation, do you have more women than men who would go to a Sunday service, say?
I think mostly women are, yes, very vibrant. So you might have seen in your congregation, English congregation, too. And yes, especially, you know, when we talk of the immigrants, you know, they have their own reasons, you know, because they have to earn the bread and butter for the families, the men, yes. So if they skip their jobs, you know, of course, the life would become difficult for them to make the ends meet. It doesn't mean that they don't come to the church or they come in very less numbers. The women and children are more. Yes.
So I was going to ask about children also.
Yeah, children.
Do they bring them as babies right up through, say, high school or something?
Yeah, because, you know, we are Presbyterians, and you know it very well that baptism at the time that the babies are brought to the church, and then the parents, they always try, and try rather earnestly to bring their children to the church.
Right, because it's infant baptism.
It's infant baptism, yes, and I would like to talk about infant baptism a little bit, because when they are baptized, they definitively have gotten an identity. They can affirm themselves to be Christians. Otherwise, you know, if they're left alone, you know, without any identity. So then how do we expect them to be a part of the church?
Well, I think it's fascinating that you have this congregation with the different ethnicities coming together, and that you're reaching out also to other faiths. Do you make field trips to go to a mosque or to a synagogue, to other places of worship?
Yes. In fact, you know, this is, you know, in the Deerfield Church, where I'm, where we have our congregation. So sometimes we hold, I mean, it's a rotation-like thing, you know. So once in a church, and the next time it would be maybe a synagogue, and then at another time it would be a mosque.
Now, are you talking about conversations or worship services? Or
not worship services. I mean the gatherings, the interfaith dialogue.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you organize those, do you have a speaker necessarily, or do you have people just sit at tables and talk?
Well, both. We do have the speakers. We do have the separate, you know, table talk as well. And, of course, even food, too. And
you serve food, right?
Yes, food is if a you part of this.
If you feed them, they will come.
Well, this is not the prerequisite, you know, and I would certainly deviate from that, you know. But food is a part and parcel of our life. And
exactly.
As we talk about higher thing, then we don't have to relegate the physicalities to the physical things.
Right. And you, when you have a multi-ethnic group, then you have the advantage of having these different foods
that's really
delicious.
Of course, yes. We have a taste of all the cuisines, you know. And people bring, you know, it's a potluck kind of thing, you know.
Potluck.
So, yeah, potluck. So people bring the food of their own choices. And, of course, the food, which is their own food. You know.
Right. Do you see in the future where you think this congregation is going to go 5 or 10 years from now? What do you imagine?
Are you talking about strictly my congregation?
Yes.
Yes. I foresee, you know, great things, you know, coming and, you know, springing from this congregation. And I'm always after... you know, and this is part of my pastoral responsibilities to raise a second string leadership. So that's what I'm doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just recently this year, what we did was that we selected and elected them 7 young adults, and we ordained them to be the deacons. So I took their classes, and still there are 3 classes to go. And after that, we will give them the certificates and then ordain them.
So they'll be officers in the church?
Officers in the church.
Okay, and that will involve them more?
They involve them more, and then and at the same time, we look forward to them to be the future leadership of the church. So there's no dearth of leadership, right? So in order to secure the future of the congregation.
Reverend Samuel Akhtar is my guest on Lehigh Valley Discourse this evening, and we're talking about international peacemaking. Do you know about international peacemakers in other countries rather than the United States? Do you get together with others?
Well, to be honest with you, this is, you know, in fact, you know, if I speak of myself, you know, this is my first time. So what I've seen is that we gathered from so many different countries, African countries, Asian countries, Far Eastern countries. So we were a diversity of peacemakers who gathered in Louvain.
Now, you're talking about peacemakers coming from other countries serving in the United
in
States.
In the United States, yeah.
Do you know about peacemakers in other countries serving?
As I mentioned earlier, that this is my first time. I do not have that much knowledge, you know. They might have done it, or they might have not.
Right. We have a long history of missionaries. So people going on missions.
Yeah.
And it used to be, as I was growing up, the thought was we would send our missionaries abroad.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have missionaries coming from abroad to the U.S. because we didn't need them.
The peacemakers are the missionaries to the United States at the moment.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's very healthy for this to be going on.
Sure.
And you mentioned that the other peacemakers come from many different countries.
Many different countries.
And
a variety of countries.
You know. Right. Are there any more in the Chicago area that you know of besides yourself?
Well, they were mostly from other countries, except for one guy, you know, who was from Ireland.
I mean, in the Chicago area now.
No, not in the Chicago area.
You, as far as you know, you're the only one.
I'm the only one, yes.
Okay. International peacemaking. Let's see. How can our listeners participate? How can we get better at this? How can we, you know, make a difference in the world?
Yes, John. You were there, you know, in our first session at Allentown Presbyterian Church. So you had just had a glimpse of it, right?
Correct.
So it was one of the speakers was myself, and the other was a young Muslim.
Correct.
So we were both there. And I think if you had evaluated it, so instead of, you know, being dagger drawn, I should say, we were complimenting each other.
Yes, that's true.
That is the spirit that we really want to be instilled and inculcated in the masses.
Yes, that was a session that was carried on with a Christian speaker who was Reverend Akhtar, and a Muslim speaker. And there was a very strong sense of respect between...
Respect and complementarity.
Exactly, between you and him.
Yeah.
And that was really refreshing to see.
You remember that he forgot something and I just interjected and said yes. Yes. This is the incident you are talking about, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he also mentioned how this Christian church had welcomed
his congregation,
which is Muslim, when they had no place to worship, and they went to the Christian church to worship. So more and more this is happening, and that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, Samuel Akhtar, our time is up. It goes quickly when you have an interesting guest.
All right.
Thank you so much for coming over and visiting
with
us.
And thank you so very much for inviting me.
Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. This is Reverend Samuel Akhtar, who is Pakistani by birth and serving in the Chicago area in a Christian church, and he is an international peacemaker. My name is John Pierce, our engineer this evening, Neil Heaver. We all wish you the very best. And until we meet again, remember to be gentle with your neighbor.
Love their neighbor like yourself.